Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You know, all the goal song intrigue, maybe this is what we need.
A cat?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, they're not named after a cat.
Doesn't matter. No rules like that.
I think it does matter.
You can't be prohibited from a panther sound effect just because your name is in Panthers. What is the league? Is Gary Bettman going to put a stop to it?
I wouldn't need Gary Bettman to put a stop to it because I would.
You would put a stop to it?
It would offend me. Yeah. It would really, really bother me. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've only won the last two cups.
It really bothers me that you even brought it up.
They've only won the last two cups. Maybe you should try it.
I might be really ready to be bothered today.
I haven't made the playoffs in how long? They've won multiple Stanley Cups in a row.
Why not just change the name to Panthers? You cop the whole uniform.
Look, just dress like
the Buffalo Panthers.
I'm not saying that.
Or even Buffalo Sabres, but just change the uniform.
Buffalo parentheses Panthers Sabres. Like it's their, or other way around, like Sabres is their maiden name.
Right. Hyphen. Give me a
hyphen. Panther Sabres.
Buffalo Panther Sabres.
Can we do that? It only works, seems to work pretty well for Florida. I don't know.
It sure has. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like the train horn.
Yeah.
Where everybody gets all scared on the other team when they hear the train horn. Third down. Like they all get, of course, they always make third downs against the Bills. It's the only thing the Bills don't do well. Strangely. But, you know, maybe it's like that, where I'm on the visitor's bench, and I hear the Panther thing. I'm like, oh, this game's over. I'm just not even going to go to the net. I'm not even going to dump it in. I'm not even going to throw it deep. I'm just going to get out of here without getting hurt. Just an idea. I'm not going as far as to say rename the team.
I'm just trying to decide whether that would bother me more than them co-opting what I think Carolina and the Bruins still have, like, a Ric Flair woo after
Carolina,
like I think Boston's had that too.
Really? That works great.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if you use a thing like that, and more like you're not the only team that uses it, the commissioner should get involved there. You should have to go to a meeting and just negotiate a settlement.
They were here first.
This is your thing. You can have it. We'll find someone else to go woo.
Whoever had it first gets to keep it.
Sure. Yeah, right. That's fine.
Then you can file a cease and desist letter to the other team.
Well, it's almost time for those Panther sound effects and the goal songs and all of it. It's coming.
I know you remember this, but you and I were both semi-fans of the Houston Oilers in the like late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Fun characters, good, couldn't get past Pittsburgh, but Monday night games at the Astrodome where they played were awesome, and they had that song.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Houston Oilers, might have been the name of it. And then you wake up one day and learn that the Dolphins had the same song, only the words were changed to Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That really bothered me too.
Shouldn't the Jets at one of these years just use the shout song? But their own words. The Jets make me want to shout. How about that? What are you going to do about it? And then if it's something, well, that's it then. No harm, no foul. All right. Throwing some curveballs at you.
I do like the idea. I did mention this yesterday. Unfortunately, it was right as Paul was coming on. Because you know how Paul loves all the window dressing, so to speak, with the hockey. Like, he just he could not be possibly bothered with the fan vote for a new goal song.
No.
Doesn't know what the goal songs have been. Doesn't care. He explained himself yesterday. Anyway.
Sorry, I missed it.
I did mention that if you hear anything about vacuum cleaners and Paul, it pertains to yesterday. It was an all-time Paul taking a flamethrower to the show moment. But I do actually have a...
Did he predict a Lamar Jackson injury?
No, we did not get there. I have a stronger opinion than I thought I would about the goal song. I really want it to be the Swords of a Thousand Men thing that Jeremy's been on for 10 years or more or whatever it is. Because I think it's perfect. It doesn't have a place in pop culture that I'm aware of, you know, that everyone knows it from this thing or that thing, unlike, say, Mr. Brightside, which is a song for a certain generation, and, like, the Bills have co-opted it, and, like, I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
You've had enough with Mr. Brightside.
Good luck. It's not going
enough.
Anywhere.
It's over.
It's only just begun. But Swords of a Thousand Men.
Now, there's a song.
Like, it's got, I don't know how familiar you are with it. It's got a good sort of sing along part for the fans could get in on, and it's not known for anything else really. It could be their song, and it's a swords.
I don't think I know it.
I can't sing it for you. I just know I've heard it a couple times, briefly, and thought that would work. Swords, sabers, the sort of sing along part, good, all works.
Is it Yacht Rock? No.
No.
I don't know it.
No, it's not. It's not
I don't
Yacht
know it
Rock.
Then. Is it on gonna be a Kids Bop?
No.
Is it gonna be on The Pulse?
I don't know. The name of the band is Ten Pole Tudor, and I don't know if they're like a pub rock, punk rock. I don't know where they what their story is. But I just know I think the song fits. I think it'd be a good song. It touches the right basis
swords.
For me.
You like that it has the
swords,
word swords.
And that it doesn't hold a place somewhere else that I'm aware
of. It's not somebody else's.
Right.
As far as we know.
Or something else's.
You turn on Thursday Night Football and the Arizona Cardinals play it.
Maybe I've got some trouble. Yeah, right. Anyway.
That's tonight.
I wasn't expecting to get loose on Ten Pole Tudor again.
Again, it happens so often.
Yeah.
Did you figure out yesterday how to hate Kellen Moore? We have one more day. Or is this game so in the bag?
It's so beneath me
that
to worry about.
You don't even care who the Saints coach
is. No, the best I can do is that I confuse him with like other guys who had, to me, similar...
The quarterbacks.
Yeah, the quarterbacks, yeah. Chase Daniel, other people with similar sounding names. I didn't make a list. So, I don't...
You're not going to bother, are you?
No, I don't think I am.
You're not going to work on it. You're not going to try to figure out, to muster.
If you had been here yesterday to push me, maybe I would have.
I'm here today.
It's too late.
No, it's all right. You're to blame if they lose. I mean, just didn't care enough to fire it up for Kellen Moore.
I don't think they need it.
No, that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, they're good.
They don't need it.
They're good. It should be good.
It's interesting that Ravens-Chiefs is on the same day as this game. Because I don't know how yesterday went in here or if you have a different perspective on this, but everybody I know that's into the Bills is only talking about Baltimore, Kansas City. Like that's our game this week.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if they had Tampa, say, this week instead of New Orleans, it wouldn't be like that. Like, it would still be about, all right, Baker Mayfield and
how
to beat them.
I think that makes sense.
They might be a 7-point favorite against Tampa.
Right.
Maybe not even that much. But they're 15.5. It's down where I look today. It was 16.5. I mean, that's kind of near record stuff. Bet Online yesterday had, will Saints-Bills be the biggest line in the league for the entire season? And the heavy money was on yes. That there won't be a bigger favorite all year in the NFL than Buffalo this week. So, you know, Baltimore, Kansas City is what we're talking about. My friends are chatting about it, And they're like, you know, one of them mentioned me, like, what do you think? And I don't know. I don't think there's a right answer. I think it's like this. Your opinion might be different. In my opinion, Kansas City is likelier to fade away this year than the Ravens are. I think the Chiefs could have just a trying season where, I mean, are they not asking Xavier Worthy and then eventually Rashi Rice to come in and save them? And like what? Here's Worthy, who dislocated his shoulder immediately this season. Last year, eventually he got there, but he was not Puka. He was not somebody that was just like dynamic in their offense. He became dangerous, but not a consistent problem. Not even what Diggs was for the Bills.
And not even what Rice was the year before.
Not even that. So now I got a deep threat timing guy. He hasn't played or practiced, and that's just going to sort of click. It might, but it's sort of a bit of a leap. And then Rice is coming off 6 games, and he missed almost all of last year with a knee injury. What's that timing going to look like? I think starting, just like the Bills guy, starting next week, he can practice. But still, like, it's just, I think there's one school of thought here that's assuming those two players will open up the Chiefs offense. And, you know, one or both of them were on the field all year last year, and it didn't happen at all. Like, they just never got good until they played Buffalo. So really, like, I don't know. It sounds to me like it's too much of a given than what it really probably is. Mm-hmm. And they have Detroit, and they come here. Like, they have the Chargers again.
The division
is hard. They
have
other tough games.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So I think there's a chance. Like, how many losses can you afford in the AFC? I mean, 7 at the most. Nobody's getting in at 9-8 probably.
Just to be a playoff
Just
team.
To get
sure.
in.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're at 2, and this would be 3, and at 1-3, just more attention on your record and your problems. I think the Chiefs have a better chance of fading away. So if you want to have a scenario where you don't have to deal with both of these guys, Baltimore. Because I don't think Baltimore goes away if they lose. They've had seasons like this. Last year was like this.
Yeah.
Where they started 0-2.
I still think that they're going to be a force.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Fine. So, I don't know. Take that. And go either way you want with that. I also think, and this is just sort of maybe vanity, but it's an incredible year if the Bills make the Super Bowl and win, no matter how they do it. Wouldn't you want to play the Chiefs if you could? And, I mean, you could lose to them. I'm just saying, like, the best case scenario includes Kansas City.
Is beating them on the way. Yes.
So
that is subtly different than saying I need it to happen. Like, I need to play them and it's going to be empty without it, because I wouldn't want to put my name on that. But I'd be lying if I don't think anyone honestly could tell you it wouldn't be sweeter to beat them on the way.
It's not like it's not a real championship.
Right.
If you don't beat Kansas City.
I don't need to do it. I don't need it to, you know, I'm not going to feel some void if it were to happen. But. If I can beat them on the way and sort of slay that dragon, that'd be awesome. It's all the sweeter, I think, if you can do it that way. But, you know, that said, if they want to go ahead and have a season where they just sort of spiral, but feel free. I don't need it to be. I don't need them in my hair.
Well, this game is pretty big toward that for them. Like, they're not dead at 1-3, but. Philadelphia beat them, Chargers, who are 3-0, all in the division, then Baltimore at home, two of these losses at home. It would taste like that a little bit. They wouldn't be dead, but if there's any quit in there because they're exhausted and they all hate each other now, then that's when that comes out. Adversity would bring that out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's already out. I don't know. Maybe it's not even real in the first place. But I think that's the question about the game. I mean, it's not hard to make an argument for either being better or worse for the Bills.
Yeah,
it's sort of obvious.
You can just keep saying things that add to one side or the other. Like, I eventually got to, I already have a tiebreaker on Baltimore yesterday. That maybe should be the most important factor, right? So I have a leg up on them. Let them stay a game closer to me than Kansas City, because I have a tiebreak on them, whereas I don't have one yet on Kansas City. I certainly hope to have one head-to-head, but who knows what that'll look like when we get there. On the other hand, though, if it's right. And this is where I started when we talked about this on Tuesday, was if Kansas City, like you just said, is more likely because of their schedule, the division, if they're more likely to have a harder time from here, right? Maybe let them get this one, ding Baltimore with another loss, and they're going to get tagged with two or three more anyhow because of the schedule and the division, and that could be good for me too. You know, that because that it gets Baltimore another loss, and if I'm more worried about them right now, which I am, then even though it's a little counterintuitive, I'm dinging Baltimore. They've got one more loss, makes it harder for them to catch me with the tie break, and they'll probably still win their division even if they lose this game. I think I would still bet on them if they're 1-3. Baltimore, after a loss in Kansas City this week, I still feel like that division is in their pocket.
That's a bet you could make, because Pittsburgh could get to 3-1, and mm-hmm. Cincinnati could get to 3-1, and then you're two games back
right.
through a month of the season. That's maybe what you'd want to take advantage of.
Haven't played any of them yet.
Right.
Right? There's been no head-to-heads in that.
No, the Ravens have beaten the Browns, that's right. it, in that division.
So, yeah, you can look at it from a lot of different standpoints. It almost feels like, it may end up really mattering which of those two teams wins this game, but there's benefits on both sides to me. Like, again, we just talked about it for 10 minutes. Either side is compelling to tag with another loss.
What about a tie?
I don't know. I hate ties.
Don't have room in your brain for that one.
I don't, you know.
You hate ties. No one's happy?
No. I don't want that.
Could happen.
Sure. sure. Good.
Don't rule it out. I know you've been listening to the morning show a lot lately. Did you hear the stat about the teams that have winning records at Highmark Stadium?
I did not.
Joe sent me this. He asked me, how many teams do I think have winning records at Highmark Stadium? And I guessed 6. And he said it's 4. It's actually 5.
Oh, so he was wrong?
Yeah, he was wrong. It's actually 5.
You checked his work?
I confirmed with him that there was one more.
Okay, gotcha.
So sort of.
Yeah, and the team the Bills are playing on Sunday is one of them, isn't it?
Yes. The Saints are 4-1 all time in Orchard Park. I was at the one. We talked about it the other day, 1983.
Mm-hmm.
The ball with Saints written on it that
right,
I have.
Right.
That doesn't exactly prove that I was there, but I was there.
I believe you.
I think I sat next to Daryl Talley's father.
Okay.
But can't confirm. I think Talley was a rookie in 83. He got here first before Bruce and Kelly and everybody.
Yeah.
I think 83.
That's soon. Wow. I thought 85 draft for him.
I got to check
in my head. But
probably
no, 85.
Before.
Yeah, 85 was Bruce and Andre.
He's on the team in 83.
Okay.
5 sacks.
Good job.
As a rookie.
I didn't know that he was here that soon. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that checks out then. Well, I mean, to some extent. It would make sense if Daryl Talley's dad was there.
He had 4 nicknames?
Oh, boy. Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
I'm out.
Big Chief?
Okay.
The Duke of Awesome?
Wow. Wow.
The Hammer?
The Duke of Awesome.
That's what it says. Pro Football Reference. They're the authority on athlete nicknames.
That is really something.
I don't know. So Saints are one.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? What other teams have winning records at Highmark Stadium? There's 4 more.
I have no idea. I honestly didn't hear this. I haven't thought about it one time,
okay.
And I could just name some teams, but it would be stupid.
Naming teams, everybody.
I'd rather
name bands.
Is there how many games is it for the Saints? You said 4-1?
4-1.
Okay, so is there someone that's played here 20 times that has a winning record against the Bills?
52 or even more than that.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, so New England probably
right.
is on the list because they owned us for a decade.
That's
2 decades.
That's right.
Right.
New England is 31-21, I believe Joe said.
Yeah.
At the stadium. Also, 2 teams are 5-4. Vikings.
All right.
That last one put them back over 500. The Jefferson game.
Yeah.
5-4. And also the Chargers are 5-4 at the stadium. And there's one more that's played 422 games there.
What?
The Bills. The Bills have a winning record at Highmark Stadium. Jeez. 258 and 164. Those are the five. Jerk. He left off the Bills when he sent me the question.
Okay. So you corrected him to let him know that the Bills.
I didn't correct him. I guess I'm doing that now in a sense.
You added it.
No, the Bills are also. They also have a winning record there.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
All right. What is the record again?
258 and 164.
All right. So it's not even really that close.
Not close at all.
Yeah.
96 games over 500.
I think you take that.
Yes. Yes. It just sort of instinctively felt that there were too many years in there where they weren't good.
Yeah. What's really wild about it. Yeah, well, it tells you when they're good, they're great. They've had a couple of great eras where their record at home, I mean, they didn't lose a game there last year at all. They're 2-0 so far this year. And the 90s, they were dominant, but then like in between there, you know, there's a lot of bad stretches where the team was really bad, but when they're great, they're great. Or when they're good, they're great, is what I mean.
Last home loss in the regular season was Denver. Ken Dorsey was the offensive coordinator. They have not lost a home game in the regular season since firing Ken Dorsey, so you know he was the problem.
Clearly.
The playoff loss to Kansas City should not be ignored. That was important. I don't have preseason here.
Good.
I know they've lost in the preseason. The Giants won the game this year, right? In the preseason.
That's correct. Yeah.
So there's that. Okay. Sam Panayotovich coming up in about 10 minutes.
Whoa. It's Thursday.
Joe Ostrowski coming up in about 10 minutes. Let me fix that. Actually, that's a terrible mistake.
I agree.
Because it's not Friday.
Right.
Where I would get that wrong. Joe Ostrowski coming up.
Right.
Not the same guy. We'll talk a little bit of week four of the NFL. Tonight's game, Ryder Cup. We'll talk to Brian Koziol at 4. That's today, isn't it? Brian Koziol about the Ryder Cup. He's flying to New York tonight, and he'll be there covering it, which should be amazing. And Sal Capaccio joins us at 5. We'll have the Sabres again tonight. They're in Detroit. Sabres pregame coming up at 6. That's right. Joe's today. Sam's tomorrow.
That's how that works.
Good.
It's on the board.
Good job correcting me on that. It's right there.
Yeah.
You know, I missed a day. Still no excuse.
No.
No excuse. Not making any. Joe O coming up after the break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Week four in the NFL tonight, Seattle at Arizona. Seahawks, a slight favorite on the road. The Bills, the biggest favorite on the board this weekend, and maybe will end up being that for the entire NFL season, 15.5 or higher, depending on where you do your shopping. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, joined now on the Wester Hotline by Bet Sweats co-host Joe Ostrowski. Odyssey Insider Calls, BetMGM Network, Joe and Sam Panayotovich co-host Bet Sweats, which is excellent. Weekday mornings, 9 to noon. You can hear it on the Bet 1520. Joe, I mean, to say the least, there's a lot going on right now with all the college football, too. It looks like a great weekend there, plus Ryder Cup. And, I mean, hockey starting. I'm not sure we can bet on the preseason.
Gage Thompson hat trick bet season is upon us almost.
Here we go, Joe.
I can take a shot of whiskey if you'd prefer me to be Sam today.
I'm sorry. I had it wrong in my head all day, and I don't really know why. I'm sorry.
Well, you get into a rhythm with the football season, and if you miss a day, I totally Totally understand it.
No, all right.
No worries at all. Yeah, a ton that is that's been going on right now. I mean, yeah, you throw golf into the mix, you're like, oh yeah, I gotta make sure I watch that. But I'm just here to so Bulldog can give me a long shot touchdown again on a Thursday. That's the entire reason.
I'm not as intimately familiar with these teams that are playing tonight as I am with the Bills. So I don't have like some third string tight end. What's for you?
What's AJ Barner, Joe?
Ooh, AJ Barner. Okay, give me a second on.
Like he's their number one, and nobody knows who he is. So Seattle. Actually, while you're looking at that, I kind of love Harrison tonight.
It's 5-1, by the way.
All right.
Really? Why? So he's not going to drop passes now?
Well, I loved Andrews on Monday night because I thought maybe the incentive would be, let's see if we can rediscover Andrews.
Right.
I had a bet on him to catch a pass on their first drive. He caught the first pass of the game. 2 touchdowns. I wish I had that. I feel like that might be where they are with Harrison. I mean, the vibes are always weird with them, I think.
Yeah.
And that drop, I mean, he dropped one in the end zone, too, that was tougher. But the one who was wide open, like the center fielder, and just let it go right through his hands was egregious. And I don't know. They have a lot invested in him. The team's pretty good. I could see him being, like, first ball of the night and, you know, maybe more focus on Harrison than usual.
Barner is 5-1 for an anytime touchdown tonight. And we do this kind of a bit on the show, but it's the room. We find out what are the most popular bets, and they're so bad, just at everything. And we were shocked, just shocked, that the most popular player prop on tonight's game is Torrey Horton over 22.5 receiving yards. So we'll be going against that one for sure. I mean, that's just one. The public is really, they're going to find Horton. Okay, he's the guy because of what he did most recently. Now he's going to go over the number. So we'll be going against that one for sure. I like the Seahawks in the game. I think the Arizona Cardinals are quite fraudulent, but they did cover the number last week against San Francisco. Arizona's been outgained in all 3 games, including those first 2, New Orleans and Carolina. For what it's worth, Seahawks beat them 7 times in a row. I don't want to say pleasantly surprised. I'm a little surprised and almost there where I'm willing to admit that maybe I was wrong on Seattle because they're already outperforming my expectations.
I'm with you. I thought Darnold was going to be a disaster there. I didn't think they'd be able to block well enough for him and that he would just cave in and it would fall apart. And it certainly is not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at the point right now where I'm starting to think, okay, I get it because of the record. San Francisco's the favorite in the division. If it's not the Rams, it could be Seattle, and they're 7-1. Right now, if they move to 3-1 tonight, I think they're going to be a very, very trendy pick. People will start to take a look at them. They should be fine. We'll find out a lot today. It's been pretty impressive. And the start of the season, they lose what by 4 at San Francisco. That was kind of impressive too. Maybe people just wrote off McDonald after that 1 year, and it took a little bit of time. But that defense is pretty strong.
AJ Barner, some are calling him AJB, 5-1 to score tonight. Move over AJ Brown.
All right.
I've got one of those, not ladder bets, just exact order of finish. Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, LA. I might have a Rams problem, but.
LA last. Was the Stafford thing the.
Maybe. Thing? Actually, maybe. This is back in, months ago. So
yeah,
maybe.
That would make sense.
Yeah. They have an interesting game, I think, from a betting perspective this weekend, too. Rams hosting the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you guys talking about this game earlier. So now is the time, you think, where everybody's sort of woke to Indianapolis and therefore they're a popular public bet?
Maybe a bit too much. Yeah, they are. Of all the popular plays, the only one that's an underdog is the Colts. That does not surprise me one bit. I don't know. It's probably more Colts. But I'm sure it didn't help a lot of people thinking, oh boy, how are the Rams going to get off the mat after the way that they lost that game? It definitely hurt bettors at the very least with that touchdown at the end. You know, I was curious about Colts last week, doing it on the road for the first time. But you're facing one of the worst teams in football at Tennessee. They They come out and they look as strong as they did at home. Jonathan Taylor with 3 touchdowns. But yeah, we were curious, what if they have to play from behind? We haven't seen that. I think there are a lot of check marks that people are kind of waiting, at least I am, for the Colts to check off. But I think many are saying, hey, maybe we're all just wrong on this team. They're a true contender, and they're looking that way so far, but they haven't had a challenge like going on the road out to the West Coast. Not that that's a huge home field, but just facing a team and a defense like the Rams have right now. So that line went from 4.5 down to 3.5, has not budged there. It's going to be, yeah, we had a bookmaker on the show today. This is going to be one of those situations. The public's on one side, and the pros, sharps, whatever you want to call them, are going to be on the Rams.
I always like it when the Colts play the Rams because it's fun to think about that these teams were traded for each other once. The franchises were traded for each other. Do you know that, Bulldog?
That sounds familiar, but I don't Ursay, have the story.
Ursay bought the Rams. The Rams were for sale. This is 73, maybe. 71, I don't know. Ursay buys the Rams stock, like becomes the controlling owner, mm-hmm. and then trades them for the Colts. So Rosenblum takes over the Rams.
Okay.
And Ursay takes over the Colts. Rosenblum wanted to move the Colts.
So Rosenblum owned the Colts when they played the Jets.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
And then we don't have a lot of this, Joe, in sports, where two teams are just the owners trade teams. Pretty good.
Didn't even know.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
I don't think it affects the line.
I know the last week, certainly last week after, you know, we were going into week three, after 2 weeks of NFL games, there was a lot of talk about, with both you and Sam, about how there's just been no upsets. Did that hold through week three? I didn't really keep track.
Oh, no. It finally happened, yes. I was thinking that would be the case, but yeah, we did get a couple of games with pretty big upsets. You know, it just got to a point. The Falcons...
Right,
ended up being an upset. It's kind of ridiculous that they were favored by 5.5, but that's what it happened. And if you look at that box score, it's not like Carolina outplayed them by that much. It's just the game got away from them early. So remember, the Falcons were coming off that impressive Sunday night performance against the Vikings, so people were in on that. That was a big one. And the monster one, of course, the Browns beating the Packers.
Of course, right.
Yeah, that was the big one. And I guess you could include Monday night.
Yeah.
It was about 4.5. I mean, that was bigger than any upset we got in the first couple weeks. So, yeah, see, that felt more normal to me, what we saw in week three with a handful of upsets. That's the NFL that we know and love, as opposed to the just – all the favorites winning again and again.
Talking to you, that Browns result should have been top of mind. Not to confuse you and Sam again, but Sam called that one on Friday with us. He liked that a lot. Yeah.
Well, if the Bills lose Sunday, it might end up being the biggest upset of the year in the NFL. I mean, 15.5 or higher. What do you do with that, Joe? Like, is there a number? I mean, it just seems so gross. Homerism, you know, excluded, if I might. To think that New Orleans would win here. I mean, upsets happen, though, to the last point. Is this one imaginable?
And in it's Rattler's 10th career start. It would be his first win.
So well, he's what a way to do it.
Yeah, right. Coming into this game. A couple days ago, this number got to 17. So there are bettors that are just going to be like, come on, this is the NFL, 17 points. They're going to take the dog every time. I don't think there's too much rhyme or reason behind it. Maybe not waiting on the health of the Bills. Or does it even matter? Probably not. But, yeah, when Josh Allen is favored by more than a possession, 27-2, straight up. Now, as far as bringing the point spread into the game, 10 or higher, not great. 6-10-2 against the spread. But yeah, it's tough. I think this game is actually interesting on one sort of betting angle. I'm not doing anything with the game because, yeah, I hate point spreads that are north of 2 touchdowns. Sure, there could be a backdoor cover when...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A bunch of the backups are on the field, I guess. I won't be doing anything with it, but I think it's really fascinating from a survivor perspective because a lot of people think this might be the most popular pick ever that we've seen. Like in the Circa Survivor contest, the owner of Circa Sports was saying, I think this is going to be the most popular pick ever. I don't think it's going to be that popular, but I understand. People kind of view it as a free space. Game theory point of view, I don't plan on taking the Bills.
Right.
I'll go elsewhere. There are five games of a touchdown or higher spread, so I'll go with one of those. We've seen mostly favorites get through anyways. And then if I don't take the Bills by the end of this week, probably the majority of people I'm going against have already used Buffalo, and there are a bunch of other opportunities I can use them.
You know, Detroit is the second highest spread, and as good as they looked Monday and as good as they were last year, there hasn't been an obvious spot to use them yet. Maybe week two people use Detroit when they played the Bears. And, I mean, the division could again be so strong that they go to, you know, they go to Kansas City still. Like, maybe Detroit is usable this week. We have a listener who sent me a great stat on point spreads. I think you would enjoy this. I'm not sure how, like, if it's actionable, but I think you would enjoy this. He looked up, Joe, that since the beginning of the 2022 season, so 3 years and change, including playoffs, Minnesota has only had one game where the spread was 7.5 or higher. Basically, in almost every game Minnesota has played in 3+ years, the spread is close. Like, they're kind of like down the middle. This week it's 2.5, right, or so at in Dublin against the Steelers.
Yes.
One game out of 50+ where their spread, one way or the other, was greater than 7. The Bills have had 24.
Wow.
In the same amount of time.
Sure.
Like, almost half their games.
Yeah.
And, you know, have they been an underdog in any of them? No. Since 22? They've never been an 8-point underdog since 22, I think. So, unless it's like a Week 18 game or something. But 24 times, 7.5 or higher, Minnesota once, love it.
What I think is really interesting about that is it just happens to be a team that, for my money, I think most football fans would agree to an extent, they might have the best combo offensive mind, defensive mind of any coaching staff. Or they're one of the top, you know, 3 to 5 at the very least. And those little edges seem to work. If you look up, as far as NFL head coaches, one score record, O'Connell has one of the best in the NFL. He might be best right now, but he's up there. You know, even though everybody was talking about the Chiefs, that stretch finally ended. And then they had a couple of one-score losses in a row to start the season, which I thought was really interesting because that typically does balance out. But with certain coaches, not so much, even though they are the exception to the rule. And so far, KOC has been the exception to that rule.
Are you a Ryder Cup guy?
I'll pay attention during football season, especially with the games that we have Saturday too as well. And I mean, these games Sunday are pretty strong. So not as much, but I hate to say it. I am taking a look and I'm thinking Team Europe.
Oh, I have it.
They're the underdog and I like their group much better at +150. We all know the trend and it's obvious about the home course. And that's been strong over the last number of years. But, yeah, I think Team Europe at +150 is a pretty good bet.
Sam called your show today the most un-American show he's ever worked on. I don't know if that's the whiskey talking, but it seems like everybody over there is on Europe, and, well, so am I.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Enjoy the weekend. Should be great.
All right, you guys too.
Thank you. Joe Ostrowski, the host of Bet Sweats with Sam Paniatovich, weekday mornings 9 to noon. You can also hear Joe on Sunday mornings, also on the Bet 1520, leading up until the 1 p.m. kickoffs. 803-0550 for your calls. We have Brian Koziol coming up to talk about the Ryder Cup, which gets underway tomorrow morning at 7 at Bethpage, Long Island. The pairings for tomorrow morning's foursomes matches are announced at 4. So we might they might drag that out, but we might get them while we're talking to Brian. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.